Racial disparities among individuals of color are an ongoing topic here in the United States. While these disparities exist, individuals who reside in underserved communities' health continues to decline. The breakdown of health and healthcare in communities of color can be traced to a system which is rooted in structural and systemic racism. Now, medical racism refers to the systemic and structural discrimination within healthcare systems that leads to inequality and inequitable health outcomes and access to medical care based on race. One of the most dangerous chronic illnesses that ever existed is systemic racism. You see, systemic racism threatens our public health and especially the health of those who live in underserved communities of color. Now, we know that Black people in the United States are more likely to develop certain conditions or have worse outcomes from those conditions. The reasons for this are often some combination of genetic, social, and economic factors. Several conditions impact Black communities more strongly than other racial groups. Some of these conditions are more common among Black people. In others, Black people may have worse outcomes or develop conditions earlier. Now, these reasons for these disparities are complex and often intertwined. What are some of the causes of racial disparities in health? Now, have you ever heard of social detriments of health? Now, social detriments of health are non-medical factors which can influence health outcomes, like economic stability. There is a lack of income or employment. Education, access, and quality. How many underserved communities of color still have grade schools, middle schools, even a high school? One of the next causes of racial disparities in health is healthcare access and quality. Black people in the United States are more likely to be uninsured or underinsured than their white counterparts. They also report receiving a lower standard of care. We must also look at neighborhood and environment. Living in an area with high rates of violence or pollution can significantly affect one's health. You know, a person may work in a job that exposes him or her to greater health risks? What about social and community contexts? Yeah, I'm talking about mistrust of the medical community, which is deeply entrenched in some pockets of the Black communities. An underlying theme throughout all of the detriments of health. We have heart disease. Despite having lower rates than white people, Black people in the United States are 30% more likely to die from heart disease. It's also more likely to affect Black adults at a younger age. Now, as for many of the conditions where health disparities exist, the reasons are still complex, but it's worth noting that Black Americans have a higher rates of the major risk factors for heart disease, hypertension, obesity, diabetes, and smoking. Now, how many of you have ever driven through an underserved communities? Let me ask you a question. Do you ever see any name brand grocery stores? I'm talking about a Walmart, a Myers, a Kroger's, what other grocery stores? A Trader Joe's, a Whole Foods. Have you ever seen a store such as that in a Black community? But what you may see is the local neighborhood corner liquor store. That's right. These stores are bombarded within the underserved community of color. And these stores may be the only access that individuals have for food. Think about it. What can you get from your corner liquor store, party store, you may call it? Well, a loaf of bread, mayo, ketchup, candy, cookies, prepared sandwiches. What else can you get? Pop, which some may call soda. You can get water. You can get juice. What else? I'm trying to think because I don't go to the neighborhood corner liquor store. I'm trying to think what else. I said candy, but processed foods, okay? And those processed foods, you are going to pay more just getting them out of your local corner liquor store, or you, like I said, you may call it your party store. Now, we have to remember that there are those in these communities who don't have access to quality stores, food stores. And these neighborhoods, you can say, are food deserts. And a food desert is that you don't have access to quality fruits, vegetables, meats, and whatever else. Or there's a lack of transportation within these communities for them to go outside of the community to do their grocery shopping. Or they may have to walk to a grocery store that may not be in their neighborhood. Now, when we're talking about hypertension and obesity, hypertension within the Black, or community of color, hypertension can be genetic. But when I say that, I mean passed down. You know, your mother may have it when passed down to a child. Obesity. The obesity comes from not having access to the proper nutrition. Diabetes is another illness that may be genetic and passed down. And smoking. Now, you can get your cigarettes at the neighborhood liquor or party store. Okay. I went in recently to the gas station to get some gas. And while I was in there, it was young children in there. And guess what they were buying? This was like at 8:30 in the morning. I guess they had not eaten breakfast. They were buying chips. They were buying juice. And they were buying the hot chips, Takis. They call them Takis. And candy and whatever. Now, when I say a food desert, these neighborhoods are food deserts. They are food deserts. This is all these kids could have gotten to eat from the neighborhood gas station. Now, that's one, I don't want to say breakfast, but I guess they bought it because they were hungry, and this is the only thing that they could afford to get with their bridge card. And if you don't know what a bridge card is, it is a food stamp card. And then some children may not get a nutritious breakfast until they're in school, where they can get breakfast and lunch. And it makes me wonder, and should make all of us wonder, but when that child goes home, what is there for them to eat? The school, what they eat in school may only be the only nutritious meal that these kids get to eat. Now, a couple of years ago, I was in the grocery store. I'm getting ready to talk about obesity. And while sitting there, standing in line, waiting to be checked out, it was a young lady who was ahead of me in line. She had her kids. She had two full baskets. And I'm sitting there. Well, I keep saying sitting there. Please forgive me. I'm standing there watching. I seen more hot dogs, packs of hot dogs come out. I seen more packs of pork chops, bologna, salami, cheese. And I'm looking at and I said, where is the vegetables? And I seen cases of juice, pop, potato chips, cookies, cakes, ice cream, hamburger, ribs. And I'm going like, wow. And still, no vegetables, no fruit. You may see a box of cereal with a high content of sugar. And I'm going, wow. Two baskets full to the top. But nothing of nutritious value within that baskets for the children or even the grown-ups who were in the household. So there are many factors that is present that can break down one's health in underserved communities. And this example was one of them. That's why you have so many obese children and adults. Now, wherever you may reside at, I don't know if you have it in your community, but this is another fast food, one fast food place. And that's Little Caesars. I don't know if you have them in your community or not. Little Caesar Pizza, the hot and ready. You can go in neighborhoods of color and see Little Caesars hot and ready pizzas, businesses jammed packed. And it's due to the fact that, yeah, it's hot and ready, but it's $5. Okay. And Gloria may send little Johnny to Little Caesars to get him a $5 pizza for dinner. You know, or Margaret may send little Patty to go and get her a $5 hot and ready pizza for dinner with the processed cheese and the processed meats. You know, the kids are not getting a nutritious meal. Another cause for obesity. You know, and that obesity may turn into hypertension, okay? And that hypertension will probably turn into heart disease. Another question I wanted to ask, if you ever go into an underserved community, do you see any medical providers? Now, there are some medical providers who are based in underserved communities. And I'll tell you one thing. It's one that is well known, and it's backed by another organization that is well known. And this medical facility works on the basis of sending people out to recruit individuals in underserved communities of color. And these recruiters get paid a commission based on how many individuals they sign up to this medical facility. But see, they fail. Well, I shouldn't say they fail. They mislead these communities. And when they recruit, they mislead them. They're not going to tell you, oh, I've been working for this company and they're a good company and blah, 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 this and blah, 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 that. But they're not going to tell you, oh, yeah, I'm getting paid to sign you up to get you in here to see the doctor. And the majority of the doctors that are placed in these medical facilities of color are not English speaking. I should say some of them allegedly are not English speaking. So it would be harder for a person of color to understand what this physician or nurse practitioner is stating. The more people you sign up, the more commissions that recruiter gets, the more money that medical office gets, because they're billing your insurance. They are billing your insurance. All money is not good money. You're in a community where these individuals know that there is a lack of education, a lack of health care, a lack of knowing what is going on with one's body, and a lack of advocacy on that individual's part. That's why it is important for us who have worked in the medical field, who have degrees within the medical field, to go out into these communities and teach residents how to be your own best advocate. What to ask a physician. And all physicians are not good physicians. I'm not against physicians. Don't get it wrong or don't get it twisted. You have some in the medical field who are there to make that money and go back to the suburbs. Okay. You have some physicians that are really good physicians and they care about their patients. They're willing to take the time and educate the patients on their conditions. Where I grew up at in Highland Park, Michigan, they once had 3 hospitals. Physicians in the medical arts building, specialists. You know, once upon a time, that city was considered one of the best suburbs to live in. You know, it was the home of Henry Ford. That's where the Model T came from. Chrysler had its headquarters in the city of Highland Park. But as time goes on, things change. Hospitals started closing down. Doctors started to leave. So that meant you either had to find a new doctor, or you would have to go into Detroit to a hospital. Highland Park no longer had hospitals. So it is important for us to know, this is where the breakdown in health and underserved communities of color exists, and things happen, and we cannot overlook that. We are living in a time that is really, really crazy. I'll tell you this, on January the 23rd, I had major surgery. And while I was getting ready to go into the operating room, I noticed that it was a group of nurses watching me. And so the nurse came back to put in my IV. And she said, "Can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "Everybody is wondering, are you?" I said, "Let me stop you right there. No, I am not that doctor, MD. For number one, she's white. And number two, I have a PhD behind my name. And also, what difference does it make? If I was that individual, would I have received better quality of care because I was her?" I said, "No one's credentials should determine the care that you receive." I said, and I was loud with it. I said, "Everybody in here should be receiving the same quality of care that you would have given that doctor or the president of this hospital or the administrator's family of this hospital." I said, "Credentials should not even play a factor when it comes to one's health." And the nurse said, "Oh, no, I know that's right." I said, "Yes, it's right." And so she tried to play it off and said, "Are you teaching?" I said, "I go out into the community 4 times a year and teach individuals regarding the importance of adhering to your physician's orders in taking your hypertensive medication. I teach them how to take their blood pressure correctly, how to log it in, what questions to ask your primary care physician, what questions you may have for your primary care physician, and most importantly, you want to ask your primary care physicians the side effects of medications." That's right. So I told her, "This is what I do via my foundation, the Charlie E. and Minnie P. Hendrix Foundation for Chronic Illness. We go in areas that others are scared to go into. Yes, I'm talking about underserved communities that others are scared to go into. This is what we do. Now, next Friday, I'm going to make this a two-part series, and we're going to go even deeper, because personally, I'm tired of seeing individuals treated like they're nothing in the healthcare system. I'm tired of physicians who think that those of us who are in chronic pain and we deal with it the best way we can and make the last resort the ER room, because we know there's going to be a stigma placed on us based on the color of our skin, that all we're in there for is pain medication to sell on the streets. And don't tell me it's a lie, because it is not a lie. I have been treated that way until I had to show them that everyone that walks through your doors are not illiterate and not knowledgeable about what is going on. And it's bad when you have to break it down to a physician, your degrees, for them to understand. And then all of a sudden, the whole attitude changes. So yes, this will be a two-part series. Now, we went over a little bit of the breakdown of the health, but we have to get to the inequality of health care in communities of color, and why it's hard for these communities to receive quality health care. There are some misconceptions about us that has been passed down through the medical system that is unbelievable. And it's time for it to change. And it's time for doctors to realize not everyone goes along with the program. It comes down to where doctors in medical schools need to be taught about empathy. They need to be taught to release the misconceptions regarding communities of color. I'm Susan Hendricks for My Story, Living with Lupus Podcast. I hope you will join me next Friday for part two, so we can get into it and get the solutions where healthcare is not a luxury. Healthcare is a right, regardless of the color of your skin. Thank you for joining.